This is On Boys Parenting Podcast. We are your co-hosts, Jennifer L.W. Fink, mom of four boys.
And I'm Janet Allison, teacher of many more. Thanks for joining us as we share real talk about parenting, teaching, and reaching tomorrow's men. Hey, Jen, do you give your kids vitamins?
You know, I hadn't for the longest time because I couldn't find any vitamins that I liked. So much of it out there, it was like gummy candy.
And chemicals and unnatural products and things you can't pronounce. Listeners, I really encourage you to look at the vitamin labels that you're giving your kids, because we know that they can't get all their nutrition through the foods they eat. You said your son's primary food group is popcorn, and we know there's not a lot of nutritional value in popcorn. A
lot of fiber, but not so strong on the other essential vitamins and minerals.
Yeah. So we recently connected with Hiya Health, and we sampled their vitamins. Your kids sampled these chewable vitamins. And
my nieces and nephews sampled these vitamins as well. We happened to have them in town, and so I let them try them, and they loved them.
All right. Because they didn't know this, but there is a blend of 12 farm fresh fruits and veggies, all organic, in these vitamins. And they don't have the gummy junk and the sugar and the chemicals that are pretty prevalent in most vitamins.
Super prevalent. And that's why I really think these vitamins are a good choice. If you are looking to boost your son's nutrition, if you're worried about what he might be missing out eating his diet of popcorn or who knows what else, this is a good option. We have worked out an exclusive offer with Hiya Health for these vitamins. This is just for our On Boys listeners. You can get 50% off. That's half off your first order. So to claim this deal, go to Hiya Health/On Boys, or you can just enter the code On Boys at checkout. That's Hiya, HIYAHEALTH.com/On Boys. The full discount will be applied at the checkout.
Get your kids the full body nourishment that they need to grow into healthy adults. That's HiyaHealth.com/On Boys.
How do you get boys to read, to enjoy reading? Is such a thing even possible? Today's guest, Erin O'Donnell, says yes. Erin is a mom of two boys, currently ages 13 and 8. She is also the author of a recent Parents Magazine article, How to Start a Kids Book Club, in which she shared her experience starting and participating in a mother-son book club. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
You started this book club when your oldest son, the 13-year-old, was much younger, correct?
Yes. He was in third grade. He had a gang of friends who had all met in kindergarten. And we were sort of at this moment where I remember one of the moms saying, you know, this is the moment where they shift from learning to read to reading to learn. And mm-hmm. You know, my son was a pretty good reader at that point. He had already sort of started delving into Harry Potter. And maybe some of the other boys were less enthusiastic about reading. And so we were really hoping that peer pressure would be a powerful force in getting them to collectively enjoy books.
I love that your instinct was so dead on, right? Let's take peer pressure, which is going to be a big force in their life, and try and use that positively. And I mean, Janet, to me, this just seems genius too. Like you said, he's got this gang of friends, which is a perfect term for a group of boys because that's how they relate.
Yes.
So do this together. Like each individual family trying to encourage a love of books at home is not going to be nearly as effective as if boys are doing this together.
Right. And, you know, it's funny, some of the first books that we chose were not necessarily like the most deep books. They were really meant more, you know, they were just fun books. And I'm thinking of The Terrible Two by Mac Barnett and Jory John. We read that book maybe as our second pick. And it's hilariously funny, you know, and I think that that was really, you know, one example of a book that we were just hoping that they would enjoy and get a kick out of. And in fact, they did. Right.
So set this up for us. I know our listeners are out there going, oh, how's this going to look? And granted, this was pre-pandemic. So I'm assuming that you gathered together, there was probably food, but how did you first propose the idea to them to get their buy-in?
Yes, that's what I want to know too. Like, how do you say to a second or third grade boy, hey, we're going to have a book club, and have them come along with that instead of just saying, that's dumb?
Well, I think, you know, second and third grade is still, it struck me as a kind of a magical moment where they were still kind of pliable. And again, peer pressure played a huge role. It was like, we're going to get together with your buddies and we're going to gather, you know, and this is going to be about you. And I think they really dug that idea, you know, that idea of, okay, we are a club. I think that there was something about that that was really appealing.
In your parents' article, you mentioned giving the kids some ownership of it, including, hey, this is your group, name the group. And there were some interesting contenders at the beginning, were there not?
Yes, there were indeed. There was, I remember vividly, actually, the night that we voted, because we were actually at our house. So we were in the dining room, and I remember, you know, just because our meetings have often been chaotic, to be honest. And I remember, you know, sort of the moms all standing around with our glasses of wine, to be honest, and the Love kids. It. Yes, exactly. I mean, this was fun for the moms as well, but we were standing around and I was jotting down the contenders. And one of the big contenders at first was the Barfing Book Boys, you know, which they thought was hilarious.
I'm over here giggling. I clearly also find it hilarious.
Yes, right. Like there's a part of you that that relates. But in the end, the clear winner, I still have the sheet where we tallied the names of the group. And so they chose the Lakeside Book Boys. Ooh. Which I know, there's something about that that's so like old school Hardy Boys or something.
Right? Yeah. You know? Yeah. It sounds like it should be the name of a series, right? Like the Babysitter Club, the Boxcar Children, the Lakeside Book Boys.
I love it. And so, and you know, that is actually an interesting point, that it wasn't about the Lakeside Book Boys and Moms, you know, it was the Lakeside Book Boys. So this was really their club. And we live not far from Lake Michigan. You know, we're all sort of like a mile or so from Lake Michigan. So I think it was very fitting.
So you get together, I imagine this first meeting, was this the first meeting you're talking about?
Actually, it took us, I would say, probably four books to feel ready to name what we were doing. I think that, it was really, the sense was that, this is for real. Like, this is the thing that's going to stick, right?
Nice. You know?
So if we were using business terms, it would be like, you ran the pilot program. And now you've decided to scale up.
Exactly. But, you know, I think the rituals of the book club were really important early on. You know, the boy whose turn it was, you know, hosted the book club. And sometimes I don't want to overstate what that meant. You know, sometimes that meant we met at a fast food restaurant and sat at a corner table. You know, it wasn't extremely fancy or anything. But the boy who was the chooser for that month would choose the book, and they loved that sort of, it's my turn and I get to say what everybody's reading.
That responsibility, the leadership, that's, yeah, great.
Yeah. And it, they really kind of got a kick out of that, being in charge. Mm-hmm. So then the boy and his mom would then host the club and then would be sort of in charge of running the discussion. And, you know, early on, they weren't really fully equipped to run a discussion necessarily. But
I've been at adult book clubs where we're not equipped to run the discussion. And it just totally devolves into a discussion of, you know, your day or what happened at work. So exactly. It's a skill.
It is a skill. And, you know, I have to say that they did catch on. They really did catch on and sort of learned. And, you know, I think moms probably ran the conversation a lot at the beginning, now that I sort of look back. But it really was very much, you know, and I think there was a sort of a period where we would go online, maybe, because a lot of great kids' books, you know, the publishers will suggest book club discussion questions. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So families, moms and sons, would find those online. And sometimes those questions were a little meatier. But these days, you know, as 6th and 7th graders, they are writing their own questions and running the conversation.
Wow, because sure. They've learned. I want to back up just a little bit because I love that you said these meetings are chaotic. And, you know, to have this vision of all the boys sitting around with their hands folded in a circle talking about a book, it's not going to unfold that way. So having that kind of openness around it, so the chaotic piece, but I also love that you said that there's some ritual around it. And I truly believe that all of our kids are starved for ritual. It just speaks deeply to our souls to have some sort of, you know, the ceremony of the who's choosing the book next time and hosting. But can you say more about the chaos and the ritual both?
Yes. Well, it's interesting because they now know, like, okay, you know, there may be sort of like a Nerf gun battle going on either before or after the book discussion, but they really have learned, you know, now is the time when we discuss the book. And so they come to the table and we discuss, you know, there have been times when we've sat around the living room floor to discuss, but one tip I have to say is that we learned to feed them during the discussion. So, you know, whether it's snacks or a dinner, very often it is a dinner and it's, again, not fancy. Sometimes it's pizza, or very often it's pizza, to be totally honest. But, you know, to feed them while they're discussing, it often keeps them at the table just a few minutes longer. Nice. Again, you know, sometimes there have been times when we've been lucky to get 10 minutes of discussion out of them before they disperse, because they've got to get back to Minecraft or Nerf gun battle or whatever other pressing thing they're doing.
And then the moms get to continue.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about that for a little bit, if you don't mind, because one thing that we have both advocated here on the podcast and in our other work is that it is so important, especially for moms of boys, to connect with other moms of boys, so that you don't feel like I am the only one dealing with a kid who's not doing his homework, or I'm the only one getting these calls from school. That you have that, really, it's a council of moms to help you understand what the range of normal is.
Oh, it's so true, because, you know, I feel like when you were just mentioning that sort of the boys leave and then the moms can continue the conversation, you know, we might talk about the book a few more minutes, but usually it's the crisis of the moment or, you know, just frustration over, say, homework. And especially now in the pandemic, like, there have been a lot of conversations. These are my, some of my closest mom friends, you know, we really do rely on each other a lot. And, you know, again, there is that sort of like, here's what's going on with my kid, and I don't know how to make sense of this. You know, there have been tears in the kitchen sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. while the kids are, raging around us.
There's so. Such great value too in getting to know your kids' friends and the parents of your kids' friends, especially as your boys get older, because, you know, I think a healthy parent is always a little skeptical of what her son tells her. And when you can get that other perspective, it allows you a more rounded view of your kid and what's going on in his life. And if you don't have those relationships, you don't have that big picture.
For sure. Yeah, that is so true. That's so true. And you know, what's interesting is, you know how it's funny that, you know, once you have school-age children, often your friends are the other parents who are in the same school. And several of the boys, you know, they all began in kindergarten together, but some boys moved on to other schools. And this has really kept us together, and, you know, together with those moms as well. And really, honestly, you know, both parents were all sort of a friendship group that has stuck together.
And so it's been 5 years since you started this book club. Roughly 5 years. Have you seen your son's interest in reading and participation in, you know, just interest around books? How have you seen that develop over time?
That's so interesting, because it really has ebbed and flowed, I have to say. You know, and again, my son was really into reading early on. My husband and I are both enthusiastic readers, and we really wanted him to catch on to that. And, you know, my husband and I used to always talk about our own childhood reading experiences and how we, you know, there were certain books that we loved and devoured. You know, Hardy Boys was one for my husband. We really wanted our own kids to have that experience of just getting so absorbed in a book that you can't put it down. Very early on, I would say sort of kindergarten, we started reading our favorite kinds of books with our son. Thinking James and the Giant Peach was maybe the first one. And I remember he cried when the book finished. And we were like, okay,
good.
We've done it. You know, like he was really heartbroken at that early point. And then, you know, the Harry Potter phase was really also like just such a big moment for him. But things have shifted a little bit. You know, now that he's older, there are so many other forms of media that he is much more absorbed in. You know, YouTubers and, you know, gamers, you know, he's much more fascinated by that. And I think sometimes there's a little bit more of a struggle to, you know, I don't see him as, you know, in a corner with a book, like feverishly turning the pages in the same way. But, you know, that's also the beauty of the book club, because there's always a new book surfacing that his friends have chosen. Right now, we're reading The Graveyard Book by Neil Gaiman, which is really terrific. I am getting such a kick. It's very gothic and funny. And so, you know, that has actually, like, I'm seeing him, like, reading when he doesn't have to, you know. I don't have to put it on his like list for the day. You know, he's really, but I have to say, like, we're all going through this at this age group. In fact, one boy who has belonged to the group since the beginning, and, you know, that's interesting. We haven't had boys fall away. You know, people have really stuck with it the whole time, but we just had one member say, I feel like I need to take a break, which is a little heartbreaking, but I think, you know, it's both age and it's also sort of pandemic schooling and just different expectations. Mm-hmm. And his mom was frankly a little tired of, you know, fighting with him right now. So we're going to give it a break and welcome him back at any moment when he's ready.
And God bless her for saying, you know what, this is not working for us right now. We need a break.
Yes, exactly.
I was wondering about that a little bit too, especially now that the boys are getting older, and right now we're at a very unique time. Often one of the challenges as kids start hitting, you know, 13-ish is that they are involved in so many other activities, you know, sports or extracurriculars, that it's difficult to even find a time to get them together. the pandemic has paused a lot of that, but is that something that you've started to see or notice?
Well, it's very interesting because the our school district was not sort of quick on the sort of gearing up to teach kids remotely. It took them a long time to have online schooling, and we like really hit the ground running with the book club. So the boys were meeting, and in fact, they said they wanted to meet more frequently. So we started meeting once a week. Through I think Google Hangout is the one that we're using. But anyway, you know, that was really key. You know, it was this sort of new technology where you sit around in a group like this and you talk, new to them for sure. And, you know, for adults, this is an awkward scenario. You know, for kids, at least this gave them something specific to talk about. And, I've noticed sometimes, you know, getting the boys on, you know, you're like, oh, you need some social interaction. Let me put you on a Zoom with your friends. And sometimes they stare at each other, like unsure what to talk about, but this gave them, you know, a topic to, that they addressed. So it was really useful. And Lord knows, like in those first couple weeks of like trying to work and trying to keep them sort of on track with something academic, it was really very useful. You know, to have another, you know, to be able to say, because I wasn't always there in the first couple of weeks. There were other moms who could, you know, lead the discussion. And I think my own children or my own son was really excited to have another adult to talk to. Kind of, you know, sick of his own parents.
Yeah.
And
so are moms reading the books also?
Yes. Yes. We, that's always been part of the process is to read the book. And, you know, it's funny it's a really interesting parenting moment when your son comes to you and says, Mom, you need to get caught up here. Like we have book group in a couple of days, you know, he can look and see where my bookmark is. And he's like, you're behind, you know? So that is it's a terrific experience.
What have been some of the favorite books that you've done in book club? Things that were a hit with boys and, you know, if there's something that hits a home run for both boys and mom, winner, winner.
Yes, yes. And there have been, you know, some interesting ones where I'm sort of surprised sometimes what they choose. For example, one of the ones that was a hit for both was The Girl Who Drank the Moon by Kelly Barnhill. And this is a really beautiful book. And was my son's pick. And I remember sort of trying to talk him out of it. I was like, you know, this, you know, female main character, very literary, you know, it's kind of a complex story told from multiple perspectives. Is everybody going to be bored? And no, they all stepped up to the occasion. I remember we had a very like animated discussion and the moms were all like, you know, this is the best book I've ever read for any age. You know, it's a really beautiful book.
Mm-hmm. And you know what a difference it is when the kid picks a book that you think, you know, you wouldn't have picked this because, you know, you're not sure that they're ready to embrace this female protagonist. It's very literary, the multiple, whatever. So, but the kids picked it. So they were motivated to dig in and do it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, there have been lots of different books though. Let me see here. What was it called?
I'm also shamelessly trolling for book ideas for myself to read. I'll be honest.
Yeah,
The Girl Who Drank the Moon. There you go.
I haven't heard that one.
It's so good. Yeah.
Okay. It's really beautifully written. So beautifully written. Another one that we really loved was Booked by Kwame Alexander. And it's a soccer book. The main character is a soccer player. It's written in verse in a sort of but it's kind of rap, kind of, you know.
I heard of this one.
Yeah, really terrific. And I think, you know, some of the maybe less enthusiastic readers ate it up. It's like beautifully laid out on the page. You know, there's space. And really well written and just great characters. And what was also very special about that book is that Kwame Alexander was on a book tour at the time that we were reading the book. So he came to our local independent bookstore for a reading, and he sort of read and sang, and he had musical backup, and it was just such a great event. The boys ate it up. It was really terrific.
Wow.
So yeah, that was a winner for sure. We also, we've read some ones that are very common or more popular that a lot of people know, like Wonder was a hit. People loved that book.
There's a reason that book is popular, and a lot of schools read it now too, because kids love it and there's a lot to talk about there.
Kids love it. And, not to spoil anything, but there's a pet that dies and the kids are all like crying and kind of funny. So
laughing at you.
Yeah.
Because a pet dies, the kids are crying. It's kind of funny.
Well, just that there is, to get like pure emotion out of your voice, it's really kind of, beautiful, funny.
Often you don't realize how good something you are doing is until you're deep into it. You don't realize all the benefits something can have. But what I just heard you say is that in creating this book club, you have created a safe space for boys to talk about and experience emotions.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, you're not necessarily going to tell your 13-year-old that that's what we're doing here, but you've got this space where through these characters, they are feeling emotions. They talk about them with each other and with their moms.
Yes. Yeah. And I have to say one of the things that makes it safe is that it's at a remove from you personally. It's not about interpersonal things between the two of you. It's about characters who are a little outside. And so I think honestly, that has really been exactly a safe space. And I have to say, with my own kiddo, he's a little bit of sort of an introvert, and getting sort of feeling information out of him, emotional information out of him, was, especially in second and third grade, fourth grade, was really painfully difficult. And so to have these books to talk about, and to have characters to discuss and to find out like who resonated for you, was really like just an extremely important tool for our relationship.
Have you had to set up some ground rules as you go along in this group to facilitate sharing and make sure that, everybody has a chance to speak, and that a boy or a mom can share something without somebody, jumping on it and putting him down or trying to make, you don't want to shut down all of the fun, right? But
yes,
you want to leave space for authenticity.
Yes. And, I have to say, we've never really codified any of this. And I think there's no sort of set rules. And I think that's because, they've been doing it since they were so young, that they get the drill. And for the most part, they're very kind to each other. They give each other space. There have been some heated moments. We read one amazing book. I can't sort of rave about it enough. It's called Out of My Mind by Sharon Draper. And it's an amazing story about I hadn't been aware of this book, and it's just terrific. It's about the main character is a girl who she can't speak, and she's not able to move. But she is basically has a photographic memory, and she's so sharp and funny. And this is all told from her perspective. And there is some bullying that happens in this book. And it's a real book. Like, there are no pat endings here, no like easy solutions. There's a lot of pain that happens as a result of bullying. And we had a kind of a heated discussion about bullying while reading this book that got a little bit, parents had to intervene and sort of like talk people down. you know, there's a lot of real stuff that does emerge. But for the most part, like I can only think of that one time over the years where boys sort of, it's funny that it was about bullying that kind of got a little out of control. And they might've been a little mean to each other, but for the most part, they're very respectful. And I think they know how it's done at this point.
Nice. Wow. I'm wondering, I'm just curious about your younger son, if he's looking longingly at this Lakeside Book Boy Club, and does he have any longing to start his own club or be a part of something like that?
I'm so glad you asked, because some friends and I are in the process right now of setting up a new club for the younger nice. Gang. And we're thinking a little bit actually about, you know, not making it mom, but parent in this situation, because I could really see some benefits to having dads read books with boys. Mm-hmm. And so we're sort of setting it up right now and hoping to give them the option of choosing a parent, you know, to they'll read with that month.
Nice. I like that. Yeah. Bring the dads in.
And I think you said at the beginning, you know, you started at this age, 7, 8, because it's when boys are on that cusp of really needing to read, interest often wanes. And I think you used the word, they're still a little bit pliable at that age. That sounds, Janet, what do you think? It sounds to me like the perfect time to start something like this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, even during a pandemic, go ahead and start it with the idea of someday you'll get together and do this in person.
And have food together in person instead of just your own snack in front of your Zoom camera.
Exactly. Oh, I cannot wait. Seriously, I am so looking forward to sitting around with pizza and those kids and those moms. I can't wait.
Yeah. We're with you. With you on that for sure.
Erin, what tips do you have for other parents who are listening and thinking, I want to give this a go? You've shared a couple, but if you could delineate like 3 tips, you want to start your book club, here's what you need to do.
I would say one hard thing about this is sort of being a little strategic about who you invite in terms of numbers. You know, I think as parents, we really want to just involve everybody. and sometimes in this instance, we had to sort of fight the urge to just bring in all the kids and really keeping it sort of manageable at the 7 number. I think, you know, this is a book club. This is not a birthday party. You know, this is not Chuck E. Cheese. We really want to sit down and do this sort of work together. And so so keeping it kind of a manageable size, as painful as that sometimes is, and not to exclude anyone, but just it seems to be a better situation for discussion.
Sure.
Yeah. Let me think about this. Other tips. It does help, I have to say, if parents can sort of preview books a little bit, particularly as the boys get older. You know, sometimes the subject matter, you know, is a little more mature. And so we've just had to sort of, you know, either do something like Common Sense Media, just to check, you know, here are some hot button topics that you'll be encountering. Here's, you know, sort of issues of romance and sexuality. Are you ready for this discussion? It's just good to know what you're facing. So we've had a lot of sort of, I just think that review is useful, and it's led to some interesting conversations among the parents.
I bet, sort of, because there's not always agreement. Among parents, you know, is this material appropriate or inappropriate for a child of this age? And the answer can be yes or no for different children, depending on their development. So it's an issue that you have to address together.
Exactly. The boys have been really interested in sort of just changing the tenor of the reads. You know, they really want, for example, one boy has been really interested in doing like Stephen King. And so he had, I honestly can't remember which book he had initially picked. And so we had sort of like this, and this was, I think, in the early stages where they were like, we really want to read something, you know, sort of different. And the mom started to read and we were like, oh no.
Yeah, no.
And it was also, you know, it wasn't just that it was sort of horror genre, but there were also just some adult themes and some like really sexist stuff that we were uncomfortable with. And so we called a halt to that one, which was actually upsetting to some of the boys. So we had to negotiate that. But I really think that that preview is a useful tool. I think also, you know, not sweating the length of time that they talk, you know, they're kids. And sometimes, you know, books just don't catch fire for them in the way that you expect or that you hope. And so sometimes the discussion's a little lackluster. And, you know, that's okay. Sometimes they just have off days. And, you know, if we get the 10 minutes of conversation, it's a win. It's a win. So we try not to worry about it too much.
Erin has more tips outlined in her article, which I will definitely include in the show notes for you. So you can click over and look at it. And she is going to share with us a list of some books that their book club has enjoyed. I'll put those in the show notes too. And if any of you listeners decide to take the plunge and start a book club with your boys, please drop us a line, leave us a comment, and let us know, because we would love to talk to you a few months from now about your experience and how it's going.
Thank you, Erin, so much. I just have this picture of you all sitting around the dining room table in the future and being so happy to be back together again. And I'm sure it's going to happen.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing.
Thanks. Oh, this has been so fun. You know how there are just topics where you're like, oh yeah, this is just so fun to be able to think about this and share about it. This is one of those things. And it really hadn't been one of those things where I feel like this has been one of the best things I've ever done as a parent, like maybe one of the smartest things. And we had no idea.
Yeah.
You know, we just had no idea.
And so often that's the case, right? Like we fret over everything we do. And sometimes without even really meaning to, we do this thing that turns out to be the absolute right thing for reasons we couldn't have even imagined. And we're just grateful. Enjoy it. Embrace it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yay. It feels good to like be proud of something that you do as a parent, right?
Well, and the thing that I know is those boys will be, they have that in their soul and they will be able to refer back to it. You know, they'll be telling their future spouse about, oh yeah, that book club, and I want to do that for my kids. So you've really created this possibility of a legacy. We don't know if they'll take it up, but you know, mention the Lakeside Book Boys at any time in the future with those kids and the stories will unfold, I'm sure.
Totally. I have saved that list of their voting because there's going to be a wedding someday.
Yes.
Where we're going to want to share that, right?
Okay, so now you're going to make us all cry.
I know.
I love it.
But wow, thank you so much, Erin. This has just been really fun to hear more about the book club.
Yeah, thanks love for it. Inviting me. So fun.
Thanks for joining us today. This is On Boys, real talk about parenting, teaching, and reaching tomorrow's men.
We are your co-hosts, Jennifer L.W. Fink of buildingboys.net and Janet Allison of boysalive.com.